Hello, everybody, and welcome to Tennis Heads. I am your host, Kirby Martin. Today, we are going to be talking about who had the most impressive 2018. There's lots of answers to this question. Who showed the most improvement? Who was most consistent? Who had the best record? Who won the majors? Who dropped a lot? We're going to be talking about that. So let's start at the very top with a man named Novak Djokovic. Really, really impressive year coming off a pretty long furlough due to elbow injury. Interesting to note that this was not a leg injury, and I think that's most of the injuries on both men's and women's tours is it's something with the legs. It's something with the motor. You got an ankle, you got a knee, hip is, you know, back even happens a lot. And that's from all the, you know, the attrition on the body running around on hard courts all the time. Novak famously does a couple hours of stretching a day. He is Gumby. He can, I think not only does this obviously help him in terms of injury prevention and sustainability, longevity on tour, but it also helps him midpoint, which is, I think, a not enough talked about facet of his game. When he's pulled to one side, especially the forehand side, he can stretch out and get that ball, but then he can also rebound really quickly, get back to the center of the court and begin the point at neutral, at least not on a in a super defensive position. So testament to the fact that he's really never been, this is the first time he's ever been out for any kind of injury. It's an elbow. But in terms of his motor, I mean, I think the ceiling on Novak's Grand Slam total is really high. And it's going to be really interesting to see if he can catch Rafa and Roger. I think he can. And that would be both of them. I think it'll be surprising if he catches Roger, but I think it's possible. And it's going to be really, really interesting to see, A, you know, how the elbow holds up, but also the hunger that he has for the game. But it looks like right now he's pretty hungry. He came into 2018 ranked 12th in the world, obviously. This is a drop due to the time not playing due to injury. Finishes at number one. He wins a couple small tournaments called Wimbledon and the U.S. Open. Pretty great. I mean, he ends with 53 wins on tour, which was only second to Dominic Thiem. 53-12. If you compare that to Thiem's 54-20. So Novak had an incredibly good record this year. Not the best, but incredibly good. So aside from winning Wimbledon and the U.S. Open, he also wins Cincinnati and Shanghai. These are two of the Masters tournaments. So he takes down two Masters tournaments, two majors. This is easily the best year anybody had last year. Obviously, ending the year number one speaks to that. But if you look at day in, day out consistency, Novak was incredible last year. I think he was really hungry. I think he's in a good headspace, and I can't see it stopping. I mean, he is, the way he finished the year, it was like all eyes were on him. This after, it was the Rafa and Roger show for a couple years, and everybody was talking about, these are the two greatest players of all time, blah, blah, blah. All of a sudden, Novak's healthy, and he comes in, and he just dominates. I mean, he is most impressive. Every year, I gain more and more respect for Novak Djokovic. Not just because of what he does on the court, but also he's just such a good person. Like he's reaching out, he's helping people. He's so friendly and warm, and he wasn't always like that. You know, he's a bit contentious at the beginning of his career. So I end up liking him more and more all the time. And, you know, it's tennis, but it's also, I just like him. He's just such a good dude. All right, so best record last year. belongs to the year-end world number two, Rafael Nadal. So he finished the year at 45-4. I mean, can you imagine going through like a month and only losing four matches? That would be an incredible month. Like if you're playing whatever, if you're playing club tennis, you're playing two or three times a week, only losing four matches that month would be really cool. So now you're on the ATP tour playing against guys in the top 10 left and right. You only lose four matches out of 49 played. It's just absolutely astronomic. It's just incredible. So obviously he takes down the French, his 11th French Open title, which just marinate on that for a second. 11, somebody has won 11 French Opens. It's just, it's unlikely. It's really unlikely. So apart from French, he takes down four other titles. Three of which are Masters events. So yes, Novak had the best year, probably just by virtue of majors. But Rafa, he wins one last major, but one more Masters tournament. And he has a better record. So it's kind of close. It's kind of close. So Rafa wins the French, Monte Carlo, which is a Masters event, Rome, which is a Masters event, Canada, which is a Masters event, and Barcelona, which is the 500 series. It's an incredible year. I'm sure Rafa has no complaints about that. He does end the year ranked number two, but watch out, tour. Rafa is still Rafa. Then we move on to a man they call Roger Federer, 48-10, three titles including the Australian Open. What is there left to say about Roger Federer? For a while, I've done this with various sports when somebody's super dominant, like Michael Jordan was with the Bulls in the NBA back in the 90s, and various other sort of dynastic teams or athletes, I kind of stopped watching after a while. I kind of want to see like more of like the journeyman contests and like players fighting for their lives and all this stuff. But last year I put in a little bit more time watching Federer, and he's a little bit more of an underdog now just by virtue of his 36 years. For some players that would be insurmountable, like watching the tour from their couch. But Roger, what can you say? He's amazing. He's still like so incredibly fluid. Just the movement, 36 years, is just amazing. Obviously, he's playing not as a grinding brand of tennis as he used to play. He's finishing points more quickly. It's surgical, the way that he goes about trying to take control of a point earlier in the point, ending points earlier. And wow, it's just still a lot of fun to watch Roger play tennis. Not sure how much longer we're going to see him play on the tour. Hopefully it's for another like 25 years. But likely it'll be one, two, or three more years, and then he'll pack it in. So get it while it's hot, ladies and gentlemen. Take some time. Watch Roger and Rafa this year. Novak, I have a sneaking suspicion, is going to be around for another like 7 years or so, playing at this level. But Roger's days are numbered in terms of time on the tour. Obviously, he's got four kids, and you know, he's going to move on to other things. But yeah, check him out. Don't sleep on Roger, please. So, Alexander Zverev, ending the year at number four. He came in at number four, which is, I kind of had to do a double take on this one. I go to the tournament in Cincinnati every year because it's where I'm from. And I spend two or three days or four watching the tennis all day, every day. And I've seen Zverev play twice in person, and he lost both matches. For those of you who aren't familiar with the climate in Cincinnati in August, it's stiflingly humid. It's blazingly hot, typically above, you know, 90, which I think is maybe around 28 Celsius, 29 Celsius. It gets really, really hot, and it's humid. There's no air movement. It's just, it's kind of in a valley. It's just really, really oppressive. So I think both times I've seen Zverev, he just looked beleaguered. He just looked, obviously he'd played a ton of tennis both times, but the first year he lost to Sugita, who at the time was ranked 105 in the world. If you guys are not familiar with him, he's about 5'4", 5'5" tall. He's a tiny guy. And he beat, you know, the 6'6" Zverev, like the heir apparent to you know, all of these majors, best player in the world, blah, blah, blah. And then a couple years ago, I saw Francis Tiafoe take him down, and it was the same thing. He looked really tired, just sort of over it, beleaguered. So the fact that he came into the year ranked 4 and ends the year ranked number 4 is just kind of surprising to me. I guess I have like a sort of skewed perspective on him because I've seen him lose twice, but clearly he's got it. And he's got it consistently. This isn't like, and he didn't really even have a sophomore slump. Like he came in and each year he's been getting better. And to be ranked number 4 at this day and age is incredibly impressive. You've got these guys who have owned all of the slams for forever, and you're still ending the year at number 4. You're doing something really, really, really right. So all the hype about Alexander Zverev is totally deserved. It'll be really interesting to see what he does this year. So he wins Madrid, Washington, and Munich. So Madrid is a Masters 1000 series event. And then he also wins the tour finals at the end of the year, which is top 8 players all play round robin and then semis and finals. He took that down. And that's nothing to cough at either. I mean, that is a really, really, really big result, especially for somebody so young. So moving on to the gentle giant, the tennista from Tandil, Juan Martín Del Potro. He ends the year at number 5. He came in at 11. He did win Indian Wells, which is super, super big result. And he ended the year with another title, Acapulco. He ends the year at 47-13 in terms of wins, losses. Delpo, wow. This is, I love to see Delpo play tennis. He is just such a good dude. He's really one of the gentlemen of the game, of which there are many right now. It's just a real joy to see him playing so well. Obviously, he was out for so long with injuries, so it's just really, really, really great to see him playing well again. I really hope that he runs deep this year. He could pick off a major this year. He's got all the, and I think he's really kind of one of the guys that is flying under the radar in terms of the ability to win a major. Yes, he's one of the handful of guys that have taken a major from the big five, but he's, I think he's poised, and I think this could be his year. I think a couple things have to go his way, but that always happens in a major. So look for Delpo in 2019. The big South African, Kevin Anderson, finishes the year at 6. He came in at 14. That's a big jump. So Delpo jumped 6 spots, ends up at number 5. Anderson jumps 8 spots, ends up at number 6. Giant results for Anderson in 2018, and he's not showing any signs of slowing either. So he took down 2 titles, ends the year at number 6. Super impressive. And then there's this guy named Marin Cilic. What can you say about this guy? I have to eat some crow here because when Cilic won the U.S. Open a few years ago, I thought he was a one-hit wonder. I really did, and I said as much. I just thought, man, this guy, yeah, okay, great. He has this great couple weeks in Flushing. Good for him. I don't think he's going to be in the top 10 for very long. And here he is every year. He's solidly in there. He's got such a great game. I mean, you got to give him credit for being able to move as well as he does for such a big dude. I think he moves better than Anderson. I think of all the guys, like 6'6 or so, Delpo and Zverev have the best movement. But Cilic's movement is pretty good for how big of a frame he's lugging around. That combined with his ability to just bomb serves, his serve game is all that. He's a really, really dominant server. He's also got a great groundies. I mean, his backhand isn't that good, but his forehand is a weapon. It's a really, really big weapon. So I think that's why you see him come in the year at 6 and at 7. Another amazing year for the Croatian. I expect him to continue. I would be really surprised if he ends 2019 outside the top 10. Then Dominic Thiem, 54-20 last year, 3 titles, came in at 5th in the world, ends at 8th in the world. I think this could be Thiem's year. I think that when it's all said and done, Thiem has more upside than Alexander Zverev. Zverev has been heralded, and deservingly so, as, you know, the next great player and all this. But I think that Thiem has a better skill set overall. And I think he's got a better head than Alexander Zverev. Thiem could win a major this year. If anybody's going to do it outside the big 5, it's going to be Dominic Thiem. I definitely expect him to win one before Zverev. I expect him to end his career with more than Zverev. Notwithstanding the fact that Zverev's an amazing player and will definitely have some slams and is really impressive. I'm not trying to take anything away from him. But Dominic Thiem, to me, is just, he's an all-around player. I think he's got the right frame to endure on tour day in, day out, year to year. And I'm looking for really, really big things from Dominic Thiem over the next 10 years. Next up, Kei Nishikori ended 2017 ranked 22 in the world. Now he's number 9. Kei is back, ladies and gentlemen. Kei is 30 years old, so he's not got a ton of time left. That kind of snuck up on me. I always think of Kei as being like 24 years old, but he's not. But he's healthy again. He's playing the same style of tennis that made him a top 10 player before. He's back, and he can take down anybody any day. When you look at the top 10, it's just loaded. It's just unbelievable how talented these guys are. If you look at the next 10, 11 through 20, there's some super, super dangerous lurkers there. So the men's tour right now is the most loaded it's ever been. The 2019 Australian Open men's draw will be the toughest draw in the history of tennis. Everybody's playing well. Everybody's healthy. Everybody's going to be there. You got all this, the old guard of the big 5. Wawrinka's back. So you got this, the old guard is all still there, all firing on all cylinders. And then you got this crop of young, hungry, talented youth who's going to come in and go toe-to-toe with these guys. 2019 Aussie is going to be electric on the men's side. All right, so finishing out top 10 is John Isner. 2 legs and a serve. Starts the year at 17, ends at number 10, takes down Miami. Next up is Karen Khachanov. This is a story, ladies and gentlemen. Khachanov started the year at 45. He ends at number 11. This is a meteoric rise. In the men's game, this is almost unheard of. He won the Paris Masters. He finished at 44-22 with 2 titles. Watch out. Watch out for Karen Khachanov. This guy means it. He's real, real tough. Right behind him, with a very similar year, is Borna Coric. 40-20, he takes down 1 title. He came into 2018 ranked 48th in the world, finishes at 12. I mean, again, this is impossible. Like, you just don't see this on tour. Think about all the players, you know, 14 and down, 14-48. Guys like Grigor Dimitrov, Miloš Raonic, David Goffin, Pablo Carreño Busta, Hyun Chung, Richard Gasquet, Denis Shapovalov. I mean, Verdasco, Monfils, Simon, Steve Johnson, Philip Kohlschreiber, Nick Kyrgios. I mean, these are all guys that are that were ranked ahead of him when the year started and behind him when the year finished. So think about that. Both Borna Coric and Karen Khachanov are that they made two of the biggest jumps, not the biggest, but two of the biggest jumps this year, and those jumps are really they're anomalies on the men's side. You just don't see it that often. So watch those guys this year. This name really surprised me, coming in at number 13, finishing the year at 13, starting off the year at 27th in the world, the fabulous Fabio Fognini. What can you say about this guy? Now, this is one of the players that I've kind of loved to hate over the years. He comes in with this like super arrogant, like pompous demeanor. Like he doesn't even have time for this match. Like who invited all these people to watch him win this match that he's definitely going to win? Like who is this guy who dares to try to compete with him across the net? Just like really bizarre, like arrogance that we just don't see in the game these days, because all the guys at the top are like incredibly humble. So over the years, I've kind of loved to hate Fabio Fognini. Last year, I kind of changed my tune on him. He's just fun to watch, man. I mean, he's a little bit on the older side. It looked like he was kind of trending down in terms of his ranking and maybe his motivation, his fitness even, I think, was questionable. He's just a weird player. He can come in and just kind of take the racket out of guys' hands like some of the best players ever, like Rafa and Roger and Novak. He's the only player ever to go down two sets to love against Rafael Nadal in a major and win that match. He's the only player to have ever done that. But at the age of 31, it's really impressive to see him playing such great tennis. I really thought that he was kind of mentally over it. I didn't really think that he had the hunger and the fight that was necessary to, like, you know, even stay inside maybe like the top 30 or 40. But here he is at number 13. Super, super impressive. And I'm really, really looking forward to seeing him play this year. Kyle Edmund won one tournament last year. He came in at 50, ended at 14. So this is similar numbers to Khachanov and Coric. Number 15 is the real giant surprise on tour this year. There's another one that's almost as impressive coming up, but Stefanos Tsitsipas, the Greek freak, ends the year at 15. He came in at 91 in the world. This you don't see on tour. This is an absolute anomaly, an aberration, and I think he's going to be around for a while. He's kind of got that like throwback like Borg look. He looks like in his build too. He's a little bit more slight than most of the players on tour nowadays, and he just looks like he's from like the 70s. It looks like he just like got transported here from the 70s. I haven't seen him play a lot, so I can't really speak in a super educated way to like what his game is like. But certainly, I will be watching him a lot this year. Another big surprise here at finishing the year at World 16 is Daniil Medvedev from Russia. Wow. I saw him take down the tournament in Winston-Salem this year, and he's just mean. He's just really, really headstrong while he's playing, and I think mentally he's a really, really strong player. So watch out for him this year. He finished the year at 42 and 23. He is a force. He started the year at 65, ended at 16. This is another giant leap. And it'll be, again, super interesting to see if he can keep that up this year. At number 17 is the very slight Diego Sebastian Schwartzman from Argentina. This guy is one of the shortest guys on tour. And he's listed as 170, which I think is maybe around like 5'5". I don't know if he's that tall, but wow, this really makes me feel good because here's this guy who's really short. If you compare him to half of the top 20, these guys are giants, right now with like Delpo and Cilic and Zverev and Anderson. These are all like just super giants, and this guy is going toe to toe with them. It's a really interesting thing to see in sport, in any sport. It's like this diminutive frame, kind of like owning a lot of people's faces in the sport. Really, really cool to see. Seems like a really cool guy. And it'll be interesting to see if he can keep it up also this year. Then we've got Miloš Raonic. He came in the year at 24, ended at 18, and he's obviously got great things ahead of him. He was out for a while with some injury problems, and I expect that he'll be climbing a little bit, maybe not a lot, but a little bit this year. Next up, Grigor Dimitrov. He ended 2017 at number 3 in the world and ends 18 at 19. So he dropped 16 spots, which is, I think, a real surprise. He didn't win any titles last year. He was 24 and 19 on tour, which is pretty pedestrian. But I don't think he's going anywhere. He's obviously got every single shot in the book. I think his new coach, as of 3 years ago, has really simplified his game plan. And I'm not really sure, I don't really have an explanation as to why he didn't have a great year last year, but I look for him to have a really good year this year. I just don't, with all of his tools and athleticism, I just don't see him staying at World 19. The next guy up is a super interesting story. It's really similar to the rise of the Greek Freak. And this is Marco Cecchinato from Italia. He is currently ranked 20 in the world, or he finished 2018 ranked 20 in the world, but he began the year 109 in the world. Now, just for fun, I'm going to ask you, who is the 109th ranked player in the world right now? Obviously, no one knows. It happens to be Paolo Lorenzi from Italy. But some other names just right behind. Let's see if you know any of these names. Pranesh Gunaswaran from India, Jared Donaldson from the USA, Casper Ruud from Norway, Jason Kubler from Australia, Lukas Lacko from Slovakia, Elias Wymer from Sweden, and Ricardas Berankis from Lithuania. I mean, how many of these players do you know, or whose games you are familiar with? So this guy started off in that group last year and is now ranked 20th in the world, which is absolutely astounding. I haven't seen him play yet. I don't know ABC about him, but I cannot wait to see him play. Who gains 89 spots in 1 year and cracks a top 20? And it's just impossible. It's nobody does that. It's absolutely otherworldly. Names that have been in the top 10 or 20 who are now not. The most surprising one of this group is David Goffin. He ended the year 28 and 16. He was seventh in the world at the end of 2017 and ended last year ranked 22, which isn't shameful, but given his skill set, it's really surprising. I had the great pleasure to see him play in Cincinnati up close and personal. And the thing that I was really kind of amazed with, something that I didn't register before, was his balance. And this isn't something that's really spoken about a lot in terms of like one of the dominant weapons that a player has is his or her balance. But Goffin has exceptional balance. I mean, he's a super fit guy. He's about 5'7". He's obviously plays an incredible defense, but once he gets to the ball, he's never leaning. He's always in exactly the right posture to put a good lick on the ball and hit it to where he wants it to go. Look for this. The next time you see Goffin, I think he's maybe one of the least flashy players. Sometimes you might just want to change the channel. Ah, it's Goffin. Like, I don't care, whatever. He's just okay. He's good, but But watch his balance. It's really stunning. And I think there's a lot to learn there from, like, you know, your average club player. Like, how does he do that? How does he get his feet organized? How is his spine always exactly in the right position? It's a really that was the thing that just immediately struck me, and the thing that I just couldn't take my eyes off is exceptional balance each and every point. Next guy I want to talk about is Jack Sock. So he came in 2018 ranked 8th in the world. He finished the year 106th. How does this happen? I don't know. I have no idea why Sock had such an abysmal year. I know that he did win 2 matches in a row at the end of last year and posted something on Instagram about it. Like, he was very tongue-in-cheek, like, you know, like it was some miracle or something that he had won 2 matches in a row. Certainly look for him to climb back to top 30, top 20 in the world this year. I really wish I knew or I could find out why he had such a terrible year. Like, I haven't heard anything about, you know, injury or, you know, something in his personal life. I just hope that I hope that he gets it together this year. Somebody who didn't play a lot last year, he finished the year at 5-7, was Joe Willie Songa. He began the year at 15, ended at 239. I mean, obviously that a lot of that is just the fact that he hardly played. Don't know what's going on with Joe Willie. I would love to see him back playing like he normally does. And then the Birdman, Tomas Berdych, ended the year at 11-11. Again, not a lot of tennis. Began the year at world number 19, ended at 71. This is a guy who has been a mainstay in the top 10 for years and years. So I don't know if Birdman is just kind of enjoying himself and, like, kind of enjoying some of the fruits of his labor now, or, you know, if there's maybe some injury or whatnot, but he's a force, and he's an absolute force in every single tournament. So hopefully the Birdman, if he wants to, will be able to pick it up in 19. Finally, worth mentioning, the little beast, David Ferrer, ended the year at 9-18. He came in at world 37, finished at 125. So I think the writing's on the wall for the little beast. Love watching David Ferrer. Just tireless on the court, on the practice court. And I hope that he can sign off on his career with a couple of big wins this year. Maybe take down a title, a surprise title somewhere. I'd love to see him play a few more times. Love watching the little beast. So that'll about do it for the 2018 review for the men. Gonna be a really super exciting year all the way around. Watch the Aussie, folks. The Aussie for the men. Who knows what will happen after the Aussie if there's some injuries or whatever, but everybody's healthy right now. Everybody's in the mix. Delpo's playing well. Roger, Rafa, Novak, all at the top of their game. Stan is back. And you got these guys who are real trouble for any of those guys. Anderson, Cilic, Thiem, Nishikori, Isner can knock off somebody every now and then. Alexander Zverev is a contender for a title this year. And then you got these newcomers just out of nowhere, young and hungry, Khachanov, Coric, Kyle Edmund, Tsitsipas, Medvedev, Cecchinato. Like, it's going to be electric. So keep your eye on the Aussie. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. If you have any questions or suggestions or comments or whatever, please get at me. You can find me on Twitter, TennisHeads with the Z-H-E-A-D-Z, or you can email me, tennisheads@gmail.com. I would love to hear what you guys are thinking, where you're listening from. Also, please subscribe, rate, and review. It helps me out a ton. And let me know what you guys are looking forward to hearing about. I will definitely oblige. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. See you guys next time.